smack dab in the middle of an open line Thursday. 800-636-1067 is the number. If you would like to weigh in, you can weigh in on the summer of Terry McLaurin. You can talk about the practice yesterday between the Pats and the Commanders. You could talk about the Nats not giving up 15 runs in a game as soon as I said you should just go bet Nats overs for the rest of the season. Then they go score three runs instead of 15 or 20. That happened. That's the thing. You can talk about any of those things or anything else that comes to mind. If you want to ask us questions or pose hypotheticals, you can do all those things.
All right, so one thing, so call us 800-636-1067. Love to banter your calls. So obviously not having Terry yesterday for the joint practice, it was almost like it was painfully obvious to everyone out there that that Washington, we just don't have like stretch the field depth, right? Mm-hmm. Especially when you don't have Noah Brown there, who are kind of doing maintenance stuff, resting. No Terry, you know, Debo's more specializes underneath stuff.
I mean, you're relying on like a comeback story from Michael Gallup. I mean, that's another guy in the wideout room.
So here's a question for you. And obviously, Trey Amos looks like the home run. Josh Connerly, who they selected in the first round, he's got some work, but you know they like what they see. Should they, now in hindsight, knowing what they're going through, should they have not drafted Josh Connerly and gone with the what the fans wanted, which is a wide receiver? Imagine if they had drafted receiver instead of Connerly with that first pick. Now, you're not going to get a top three or four receiver.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of any. I'd have to pull up the list. Any
after him, you start to go
in that
like
range.
Jaden Higgins, Luther Burden. These are the guys that went after him. I can't remember. Did we trade down on Connerly? Did we stick where we were?
I think they stuck there.
Trey Harris.
No, they were at 29 and stuck with that pick. Yeah.
So, I mean, there were three or four other receivers that were selected in the second round. Should they have drafted an heir apparent to Terry, knowing Terry's contract situation was going to be a sticking point, knowing they could still plug in Wiley, right? Maybe squeeze another year out of Wiley. You know, your line's getting upgraded anyway because you got Tunsil.
Right.
And you're going to move Goldman down. Everyone's going to slide down.
It's hard.
Maybe they should have drafted a receiver, and they wouldn't be in this pickle.
Remember, a lot of the mock drafts had them drafting a receiver.
Yeah, and the fans wanted a receiver.
Fans,
I can remember one guy who's over in Italy throwing his phone away that wanted a receiver.
Yep. So, I mean, a lot of the media thought that they were going to take a receiver there based on the age of Debo, one-year deal.
Did they botch it?
I don't know if they botched it. I think.
I mean, it kind of depends on how it plays out.
Wouldn't
they
be in a different spot?
I mean, they used a top 100
pick. Maybe, but it still would be a rookie receiver.
Right. Yeah. But they used a top 100 pick on McCaffrey last year. I feel like they want to see how he develops.
Yeah, but
I can't really blame them for not taking a wideout late in the first round.
They clearly felt like they needed that protection for Jaden. That was more of a priority.
But right now, I'm eating ramen noodles. Mm-hmm. What is the number one sort of problem right now is lack of receiver depth.
I know, but I don't know if that's their mantra. I think they have their board and they draft who's the highest on their board, regardless of position.
I think there might be a lot of truth to that, Matt. I'm just throwing out there, knowing the situation that we're in, should they have been a little bit more, hey, you know what?
Needy.
This Terry thing's going to be weird. And if it gets really awkward, we got to have somebody in there that can stretch the field and give us a little more flexibility.
I think if that guy had been there, then Peters would have selected him.
Yeah, maybe they just didn't like the guys that were there.
They
that
saw
high
Connerly
on the board,
there,
29.
And, like, his value is just too good. We have to pick him.
I thought Connerly was picked a little early.
We did months and months of draft prep. Josh Connerly's name was
never
not mentioned
up
one time on the show.
But we're not GMs.
I understand. We're
goofballs.
I know, but we're critiquing their selection right now.
Right.
We did not talk offensive line or tackle for that draft pick at any point leading up to the draft. We talked wide receiver many times. We talked edge many, many times. They passed on that.
Safety.
We talked DBs. We talked edge. We talked definitely
maybe
talked
they
receivers.
Should have taken receiver. Are you with me?
Of course. Of course that could have been in play and probably should have been in play. I believe, did Bickle pick Luther Burden as his selection on the mock draft?
I can't remember.
He may have.
I have no memory.
I mean, Luther Burden's getting kicked out of practice.
I don't know
that I did.
I remember you talking about him at some point.
Right.
At some point you were talking about him. But I know it wasn't offensive line or tackle at any point.
If Jaden Higgins, who went number 34, becomes a superstar and Connerly doesn't do much or flames out, then yeah, there'll
be some
second.
You look back and say they botched it.
Yeah, if Luther Burden catches 90 balls in year two and becomes a big part of that Chicago offense, then yeah, you might be second guessing.
Well, and I'm not saying that Connerly's going to be bad or anything. Connerly might be a 15-year pro. Mm-hmm. It'll be great. I'm just saying, for what this team needs right now, I mean, it's painfully obvious. The most glaring hole right now is we don't have a stretch of field guy. We don't have a home run guy on offense, other than Debo, who's just like a tank.
But they probably just felt like, okay,
we'll just get it resolved.
If we have McLaurin and Brown's healthy, and that we just acquired Debo, they probably felt really good about their first unit at receivers. Mm-hmm. They did draft Jalen Lane. Now they didn't draft him to be a starter. Drafted him being more of a special teams player, but maybe they expect more from McCaffrey this year. You know, they clearly felt like
I would guess they would. Didn't he have 18 catches as a rookie? Like they definitely expect more out of him.
Maybe they didn't foresee the Terry situation getting this hairy.
Well, I know I didn't. I don't think anybody in this room thinks that.
Yeah, we thought it would get done
into mid August.
We thought it would get done in the summer.
Not even that. It's you just thought that he would play out the contract. When no one even talked about extending Terry, right?
I don't know. I think it's kind of standard for these guys. I think it's kind of standard for the top guys at their positions. And he had such a big year.
Like, if there's no guaranteed money left on their deal, they're going to start agitating for a new deal.
Yeah. I think once he's
playing out.
I was going to say, once he started putting up the numbers, they said, we got to make sure we ink him for another two.
This also could be in play. Maybe Adam Peters is waiting for cut down days. And I know cut down days are different now. Maybe he's waiting for a vet to come free, and he'll sign wide receiver X onto the roster.
Yeah, but what's the likelihood that he's going to be like a stud, stretch the field guy that's going to really
probably
help?
Not great.
Yeah, but I think this might actually help Terry's position, and maybe especially if it's a real gross thing on Friday. Now it'll be backups and everything, but maybe middle of next week they get something done. Maybe this could
be fantastic
because you actually see him now against other guys and you go, you know what? Listen, we don't want to overpay him, but we're going to have to give him a little bump here because we need him.
Right. They know they need him.
We need him
to succeed on offense.
And Jaden's going to go, hey, seriously, I can't just throw I can't throw everything a 5-yard pass to Zach Ertz.
Right.
Right.
We need some more explosiveness down the field.
You
got to
get me some help here. You've taken away my top guy. Please.
I mean, I like the Michael Gallup comeback story. I hope he makes the roster.
I haven't heard one thing about him.
It's hard for me to expect a lot out of him. He hasn't done anything really in the last three seasons.
Yeah.
To expect him to get back to his form when he was, doing work in Dallas, it's just kind of, you're trying to thread the needle.
I don't think he's going to make the team. I haven't heard one thing about him.
He might not.
I haven't heard one thing about him. Forget about his top four.
I mean, I assume they're going to keep six receivers and... I'm not sure. I mean, it's going to be a battle between Gallup and Jacoby Jones and Ja'Cory Brooks. And
Brooks has shown out
KJ
more than
Osborne.
KJ Osborne has shown out more.
KJ Osborne, I think they have him on depth chart as the number one punt returner.
Yeah, but they say he has, it's Lane taking all the one reps.
Yeah, that's good.
Terry definitely has a lot more leverage today than he did yesterday.
I think so.
I'm sensing a little bit of doubt from you.
About what? What's the doubt you're sensing?
The Terry-o-meter.
Where did the Terry-o-meter disappear?
No, I actually think that my Terry, it's even more likely he'll be there for week one because they need him.
Yeah, we need the Terry-o-meter back. I thought Valdez ripped this into a million pieces.
you see all the garbage stains on it? We had to fish it out of the trash. Let's see.
So that's where Cakes is right
I'm
now.
I'm at 85%. He's going to be back for week one.
Now, after the practice yesterday where we had no downfield.
I think we have to move it up a tick. I'm going
to
move it to, let's go. Terry-o-meter now officially at it's over 100%. Oh, we got a faulty Terry-o-meter.
Yeah. What do you think? 90?
90%.
Right? Because it helps
we're at
Terry.
90% on the Terry-o-meter.
It helps Terry.
I mean,
don't you think?
If you look at what they did in the practice yesterday, it goes over 100%.
I just feel like they knew they needed it even before the practice.
Yeah, but now you really see it and you're going against other guys.
I mean, when they start playing regular season games, they know that they need Terry McLaurin.
Why do you care that they drafted Connerly now?
Me?
Yeah. If you have no concern that Terry's going to be there week one, what do you care?
I'll be honest with you, I'm killing a segment, to be honest with you. I'm be completely honest
Summer
with you.
Terry.
I'm killing a segment. Now, okay. If they have Terry in week one, which I I think they're going to have him in week one. 90%. Then it's not a problem.
It's official.
Then they did the right thing.
But what if Connerly is starting in week four?
I think he's going to.
Yeah. Then maybe they did the right thing.
Yeah, but they might have been able to squeeze out the same caliber reps with a Wiley. I don't think.
Yeah, but you saw.
I don't
a
think Connerly's going to come in and just be a beast. I think Connerly's going to be up and down. Probably think, like right, Colby.
I think he's
going
to start week one. By the way,
well, if he does, then
I think Connerly in there against
look,
the Giants.
Look, if he's starting in week one or very soon after that, it was a good pick.
Great pick.
Sure, it's a fine pick.
Starting tackle,
especially when you have a young quarterback who you don't want hit.
Right.
But I'm just saying it would have been nice, and it certainly would have been sexier to have another potential heir apparent to Terry that, he's holding out? Okay, well, we got this
sexier. A wideout's always sexier than a big, fat offensive lineman.
Well, especially when your number one is holding out.
Yeah, I just don't think.
It would have given the team more leverage.
In April, they probably just didn't see
it. It would have given the team more leverage.
Yeah, Peters did not see this extending into August back in March and April as they were preparing for the draft.
Probably not.
He did not see this snafu with Terry McLaurin and his representation.
I don't know. You know what? People can chime in on it throughout the show. Again, it's Open Line Thursday. Did they botch it? Drafted Connerly. Not that Connerly's bad. Connerly'd be fine. I agree with whoever Drab or what Jason said. Probably be starting by week four and off and running. But should they have drafted a stretch of field guy? A guy that could, a home run threat?
I mean, eventually they're going to need those guys.
They're going to need one.
Let's just say Debo's gone. Let's just say McLaurin plays out the deal this
you know
year
and they gotta
without
draft
an
one
extension.
Next year.
Yeah.
They got to draft one next year.
But they just felt like they didn't like that pick at 29. They loved Connerly at 29.
If you want to weigh in on that, or the fact that the Terry-o-meter for him playing week one is now ticked up 5% to 90%, you can do that at 800-636-1067. And don't forget, Chris Doering will join us to talk college football coming up at 8:45.
You know the guy that I wanted, Drab. I think it was Jason that was typing up Luther Burden. If I'm remembering correctly, the guy I wanted was Egbuka, but he went a couple picks earlier.
Emeka Egbuka went to the Bucks at pick number
18 or 19. I think.
Yeah, yeah.
See, he was gone.
He was gone. Matthew Golden was gone. Then no more receivers were taken in the first round. But I remember Jason talking about Luther Burden. If I remember correctly,
Burden was a stud in college.
Yeah,
I didn't realize he got kicked out of camp. You said that or out of practice?
Ben Johnson at one point
kicked
now,
him out.
This is a one off, but yeah. I guess he wasn't like running a route right or just wasn't listening or something was going on and he just got kicked out of.
He just said you're done. Yeah.
By the way, did we ever talk about the fact that Jaden kicked somebody out of the huddle for a false start?
Right.
Did that person ever get named?
I don't know who it was. Yeah, I don't know who it was.
Would he have the cojones to kick Laremy Tunsil out of the huddle? Because Laremy Tunsil, I believe, led the league in
false starts
last year.
I don't know.
Now that person was never
that's
named,
a great
as far
question.
As I know.
Yeah. That's a great question. We should find it. You know, I'm going to ask JP Finley.
He would know.
He would know. We should find out who it is.
If Jaden's the leader that everybody's hyping him up to be, which I believe he is, he probably wouldn't have.
My guess is it was probably some undrafted
guy.
Somebody lesser down the totem pole. You can make an example of and not worry too much about.
Now, if he kicks big-ass Laremy Tunsil out of the huddle, much respect.
We could have an issue.
Laremy Tunsil could snap Jaden Daniels in half with one hand.
All right, 800-636-1067. Of course, it's Open Line Thursday. Chance to talk about whatever you want. Chris Doering's going to be on at 8:45, talk some college football. Around the corner. Jason, when is week zero?
August 23rd, bro.
August 23rd, yeah, Kansas, okay. So about 2 weeks away.
Iowa State and Kansas State playing in Dublin.
But, of course, we're just throwing out there, you know, now that you look at it, and the early reports are, look, it is what it is. The reports I saw were that the Patriots probably got the better of the Skins yesterday. Nothing to be panicked about, but that, and if there was a situation where the Skins looked a little underwhelming, it was at receiver. You know, not having Terry, not having Noah Brown out there. Did they botch it, Cakes, and not draft the receiver
with that first pick to give him
a little more insurance with this situation?
If Peters had a highly graded wide out there, that 29 that he loved, he would have taken him there. Mm-hmm. He clearly looked at Connerly and said, this is a guy that we can plug in and can be a stalwart on the offensive line for 8 or 10 years. And he's just a better value pick than the wide out of Iowa State is Jaden Higgins.
Yeah, Higgins.
That went 34. Like, he just clearly valued Connerly more. And
but remember,
he probably also thought that he would have Terry McLaurin in camp.
Right.
He didn't think that he wouldn't be here at this point.
Well, that's part of the equation. All right, let's go to Edwin in Silver Spring. 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. And by the way, this is not a shot at Connerly. I'm sure Connerly will be fine. I'm sure he'll be a good pro. But the one position that looks a little underwhelming right now is receiver. Edwin, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? How you guys doing?
What's up, Edwin?
Good. What's up, man?
I think Adam Peters, we've kind of overrated him a bit, I think. For somebody who's in his first year as a GM, I think this whole thing with Terry, he's looked on the back foot pretty much. He's looked like he's not been prepared for the situation that unfolded, you know. Like, we're now talking about if we should have drafted a receiver or a lineman. I'm fine with the pick, but for him not to have expected this contract dispute that we're in right now.
Maybe he did.
I mean, I would push back here, Edward. I think he's plenty prepared. He just values Terry McLaurin and, you know, like the fact that he's about to turn 30. He values him differently than Buddy Baker and McLaurin value themselves.
Right, but
I don't think he's not prepared.
Right. But is he? He might value him that way. But just have whatever your value is, who cares? Just have his ass on the field in week one.
Right.
Can you just get that done?
I still think it's going to get done.
Yeah.
My Terry-o-meter's at 90%. That'll be there week one.
Do you think Terry's more – did Terry gain leverage yesterday, Edwin?
Yes. Yes. And I think Terry's camp, his agent, people have been, like, trashing his agent for whatever reason of late as well. I don't get it.
Because he's got no big-name guys. He's the biggest name by far.
That's the thing. People get mad when you have all the big name guys, and then they get mad when you have no big name guys. Like, what do people want?
You want a stud.
That's his job. He's not supposed to be some name collector or whatever. But I mean, I feel like they've done everything right. First of all, choosing to do the speech in at Eastern Motors in Laurel, you know, that was move one. He got that correct with the media presence and everything. Just then, the signing the autographs for like an hour, even though he wasn't on the field. He's had the optics. Correct. You know, he's using his social leverage very well, you know. So I think he's stuck out for himself, but he hasn't rubbed people the wrong way too much. He hasn't gotten nasty or anything like that. So I think they're doing their you know, contract dispute game is running very well. And Adam Peters, I don't know. We'll have to see about him.
Yeah, I mean, he could have.
Thanks, Edwin. Appreciate the call.
That's just not Terry's personality, but he could have been nasty like Micah Parsons. When Micah Parsons said, I don't even want to play here.
Right.
He said, I don't want to play here.
Terry's too, you know, he's too savvy.
Again, but that's happened before. We talked about Myles Garrett yesterday. Mm-hmm. But Terry, he hadn't said that. Just requested a trade. Just that's protocol.
Instead of, okay, you're happy with the Connerly.
And trust me, I'm usually very pro drafting wide receivers and adding to your offense.
Right.
Although, remember last year they took Johnny Newton, and they loved the fact that Johnny Newton had slipped to them in the second round.
Right.
He didn't have the impact that, I mean, they went out and got Kinlaw.
Mm-hmm. He's been good, but he's been a little underwhelming, a little.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would have thought that if they drafted Johnny Newton last year and they loved the fact that he slipped to the second round, they snatched him, that he would have been one of your starting tackles.
I'm going to chalk up
and he's not.
Newton's first year being underwhelming to him coming off that foot
he
injury.
He had the injury, that's true.
Starting slow.
Yep.
I think you're going to see a better Johnny Newton in year two.
I hope so.
And Adam Peters wants to see a better one too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to our guy Dennis. Interesting. Dennis, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. What's up? How you doing?
Hello, Dennis.
I agree with what you guys just said about Newton. Last year, he was a little aggressive. That's just because he was young out of college, and it's good to see a defensive lineman actually a little aggressive like that. So I'm not worried about Newton. But the reason I called was I'm just going to rant about the Adam Peters thing and how he debacled the whole Terry deal. And that's my opinion of it. It showed a little bit yesterday, and if it continues – I hope I'm wrong. I just hope I'm wrong. I pray I'm wrong. But if it continues and we don't get Terry, it's going to really show. And we will not – I don't even think we'll make the playoffs if we don't have Terry McLaurin. Because who else have we got? McCaffrey, Noah Brown.
I think they're banking on having Terry. They're going to have Terry at some point. It's just when.
Yeah, but the whole thing's screwed up, guys. The whole thing's screwed up. You know,
that Terry, is so angry.
Yeah. The whole thing is screwed up. He's going to be a little bit – you know, they should have taken care of this months ago.
They screwed it up. That's all I have to say. They screwed it up. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you for venting.
Dennis.
Excuse me. Let's go to Joe.
Maybe Dennis had smelling salts this morning, too.
Let's go to Joe in Raleigh. Hey, Joe. What's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, what's up, boys? Now, I'm going to tell you up front. This thought is way out there, but stick with me.
All right.
I think the person that has benefited the most from Terry was Dan Snyder, because he kept the value of this franchise up. So I know he at least kept it up like maybe $500 million.
Hold on.
It would have been nice.
What is your theory? What is your theory here?
He was the only one with value and integrity with the organization. So he kept the value.
That Terry was elevated. Terry has elevated the value of the franchise to $6.05 billion. Yeah. Is that
he's saying he elevated him at least $500 million. That's what he said.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Oh. Terry's worth $500 million all of a sudden? Right. Wow.
All right, okay.
Snyder should be the one to break him off, you know, $10 million, something like that.
Yeah, yeah, fat, sure. Bad chance.
Is there any way Terry's agent can use that in negotiation with Harris?
If you want to believe that, sure.
One of the worst calls.
Maybe
ever.
The most laughable
one
call.
One of the worst calls.
On open line throw.
I told him this was a terrible call, but I said, if you want to proceed, go ahead.
Yeah, he wanted to keep going with it.
God bless you. Do you think that Terry's leverage increased yesterday?
I do, but I think it's going to increase more on Friday when they get worked again. They don't have deep threat.
Problem is, there are going to be a lot of ones out there.
Josh Johnson and Sam Hartman at quarterback.
You're going to watch Tay Martin run routes.
Yeah. All right, let's go to James in Clearwater. James, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, Junks. Long time no talk.
What's up, James?
So, look, the whole Terry thing, man, it's frustrating as a former Skins fan, like, to still keep up with the team and then to hear that they're still not coming to a deal. I listened to Kevin Sheehan. I've been listening to the kid, and we all know, man, he's on it with his skin analysis, right? But, you know, you don't pay, and I understand, you don't pay for past performance. You're paying for future performance. I think we all get that, right? But at the same time, I mean, Terry, nobody's been a better model skin when it comes to performance and off the field. I mean, Eric, you're sitting there telling, I want him to date my daughter and all this crazy talk. I mean, he is that kind of guy. So I think you don't want to be seen as an organization that gets taken advantage of, but you also want to be seen as one of the organizations that takes care of one of your own. And we all see Terry as one of our own. He's one of the guys, man. So I hope they get it together, because I don't know what this team's going to do at wide receiver without him. I mean, you get the ball in Debo's hands and close yardage. He's not a deep threat player. Who takes those deep threat balls? They got to get this together, because if they're going to keep pace with the Eagles and the Cowboys, you have to have Terry on the squad, man.
He's going to be there. It's taking longer than anybody's expecting.
He's going to be there, but the longer it takes, then maybe the
more
longer it's going to take to have an impact, too.
True.
All right, let's go to Jerome. It is Open Line Thursday. You don't have to just call in about Terry.
Well, this is quite a pivot, what he wants to talk
about. This is a pivot. By the way, I believe Mar has put up the YouTube video of us using the smelling salts.
Okay,
and
very good.
I think he'll have a social media clip out there shortly.
Excellent.
So stay tuned for that. Jerome!
Hey, man, how we doing?
What's up,
doing
Jerome?
Great. How are you, buddy? Jerome! What the heck? Hold on.
Jerome, you there, buddy?
Hey, go ahead, bud.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
All right, word. Yeah, I just wanted to, I know it's a pivot, but you seemed enamored with the conversation on Tuesday about breast milk.
Yes.
Yeah.
And everybody in the booth is too scared to admit it, but I definitely ingest my wife's.
Hold on.
What do you mean? Ingest is a gross word.
Hold on. Have you sampled it just like one time as a goof, maybe while you're drunk, or is it something you do on a regular?
No. So the first kid didn't try it, thought it was weird. Second kid might have had a spicy night. And then the third kid, I almost every night, she gets a glass of wine, can't use it for the kid, so I drink it. It's a great hangover cure.
What?
So weird.
I've never
it's
heard
a
of such
hangover
a thing.
Breast milk is a hangover cure? God.
Hey, if he brought his wife's breast milk over to the studio, would you drink it?
Oh, not in a million
hell
years.
No.
Smelling salts that's about where we
yeah,
I mean,
yeah. Would
on.
You?
I think I would.
You would drink another woman's bodily fluid?
All right, there you go. Bring it in.
Yeah, if you bring it to the studio, Drab and I will drink it.
Silly. It'll be nice and clean. It tastes like vanilla milk. And bodybuilders buy it. Bodybuilders buy it.
Why?
Let me ask you. Now
why does it have a lot of protein?
Do you drink it cold? Oh, yeah. Do you drink it like body temp?
I think he drinks it hot out of the
oven.
How
do you consume it?
Heat. All right, so the nighttime pump, she finishes, hands me the bottle, and I go to town.
She hands you a bottle. You
gotta put, gotta make a video of that. You gotta make a TikTok of that.
This guy's got mommy issues.
Yeah, you got mommy issues, don't you?
Yeah.
It's the pump bottle. You just chug it. It's delicious.
So there's no nipple on it?
Hi, mommy.
So hold on, no. but when you've had a spicy night, you're skipping the bottle. You're going straight to the source.
Straight to the source. Yeah.
Yeah. I can maybe see that.
This is really freaking me out.
I can maybe see that more than I could a bottle.
Those poor nipples. Man, you're destroying them, buddy.
That is just brutal.
Oh, man.
I mean, I don't know if I'm – it's like Niagara Falls. It just flows.
So weird.
All right, dude,
it's freaking me out.
Are you on Twitter? You need to put a video on Twitter of yourself doing it.
I'll sign up today.
Sign up today. Tag the Jones. Yeah.
Text a video to Drab.
Hey, yeah, will you send a video to one of the boys?
From the bottle or from the source?
The bottle. We don't need to see the source.
I'm into the source, kind of. Oh, yeah. Let's be honest. What are you talking about? Either or, bud.
That's so gross.
How about one of each?
All right, yeah.
Stay on hold. Stay on hold. I want to see this.
Sure.
And bring it down, because these dummies will drink it.
Yeah, I mean, are you kidding?
What?
It's milk. Of diseases.
I want to see you drink it.
That's probably a bunch of good antibodies.
Yeah, it's milk.
Probably good for
you. Did
you
see that there's an ice cream called breast milk ice cream?
That's what I talked about yesterday.
But it doesn't. Probably maybe not. But it doesn't actually have breast milk in it, right?
It's supposed to be breast milk flavored. We talked about it. I don't know what that means.
It's probably
so not actual breast milk in
probably
the
using
ice cream.
That caller's wife's material.
Yeah. I don't know what any of that means.
Man, that was a hard right turn we just took with that call.
From Terry.
But you know what? That's the beauty of Open Line Thursday. You never know what you're going to get. You never know what the topic's going to be.
Funny.
I know what the topic is going to be with our next guest. It's not going to be drinking anybody's breast milk.
Please don't ask CD if he drinks his wife's breast milk.
I bet you he has.
I'm going to bet I'm going to bet he has not done that, but I could be wrong. Chris Doering is going to join us next. We'll talk college football with him next on The Fan. The Junkies Poll is brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, the perfect addition to any gathering. Each can is just 100 calories with zero carbonation for easy sipping. Find Surfside at your local bar and a convenient variety 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. Drab will get this up shortly at Junks Radio on Twitter. Should the Junks make smelling salts part of their daily show routine? That's going to be the question. And Mike Marr just posted the video recently at Junks Radio. You can go check that out on Twitter if you didn't catch it live. All right, time to go to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We say good morning to our friend Chris Doering, NFL vet, current college football analyst for ESPN and the SEC Network. What's up, Chris? Good morning.
Good morning, man. I hate that I caught that part of the open to the segment because what are you guys, a bunch of bitches, man? You know you guys don't use smelling salts?
No, like it was my first maiden voyage with the smelling salts, Chris. I might be a little bit of a wimp, but I took two hits and that was enough for me.
Hey, the sports bitches.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Sports bitches. Yeah, that's great, man. Yeah, no, we got introduced to smelling salts back in Florida. It's more of a It began as a weight room thing, right before you hit your PRs at the end of like winter conditioning.
Yeah,
you get a little smelling salt before you get under the bench. But I've taken that further. You know, I used it throughout my career. I've introduced it to my kids at a young age. Wow. I even used it before, you know, work, a big call at the mortgage office sometime. You got to hit that as well. So it's a big part of my life.
Oh, wow. Look at that. I didn't know you're so deep into smelling salts.
One of our guys says you can't even, you have to get it online.
I Amazon it. I get it Amazon right to the house.
Nice. You're still doing it.
Do you buy like boxes at a time? Like, are you buying in bulk?
No, nothing excessive. I'm not addicted, but I do get, I get a decent sized box. I take it to the office. I love introducing it to new people because you just tell, hey, take a whiff of this. And they don't really, there's no moderation in their sniffing. And it completely like fries the brain.
So, CDs, so you give some of the salts to your employees?
Yeah, for sure. That's part of it's like part of the hazing ritual. If you know, if you're going to be part of the group, you got to be able to.
That's
just,
funny.
It's indoctrination. Hazing's an ugly word. That indoctrination is better.
I asked our guy Chris. Yeah. I asked our guy if it's like Zins, like there are different levels. Are some brands stronger than others?
I don't know. I haven't done that. That would be a good science fair project for anybody's kid out there that wants to get a good grade. But no, I don't. I've never.
They're all basically the same. From what you can tell, yeah.
Well, yeah. What you see a lot of guys doing is breaking a bunch of them up and putting them in a cup, and just covering it up, and then pulling a big whiff out of it like before a series or something. So I think they're all the same, but you can combine the strength of multiple salts to help get the kind of effectiveness you need.
Mm. Right, right.
Hey, how was your summer, bro? I mean, now that we're pretty close to the season, starts August 23rd, all right? So Iowa State and Kansas State are going to play in Dublin. Noon kickoff on ESPN. That's the first game of the year. But did you do anything cool this summer?
Yeah, man. I literally just got back from Montana, man. Was out there. My buddy gets a house there every summer. Ooh. My first trip to Montana. Caught Dave Matthews two nights in a row as part of a festival there, a little Friday-Saturday deal, sitting out in the middle of this field between all the mountains, watching Dave and the music going by down, or the sun going down behind the mountains while you're listening to the tunes. It was awesome. Wow. So I did that. I did the Bahamas a couple times as you and I kind of share that affinity for that place.
Yep.
But I'm Chicago a couple times, so I've had a nice summer, man.
Hey, what's it like getting away from the hustle and bustle? Like I just fantasize about being around no people and Montana and like Wyoming, like those places. They just call out to me. What was that like?
Montana was awesome. Like we stayed in this house that was right on the Gallatin River. So you walk out, you wake up in the morning. It's 45 degrees last week in the morning. You're having some coffee, got a fire going. It was ultimate relaxation. But for me, I never get a vacation. Like even that trip, we're crushing drinks and getting out of control at the concert. So it's not. I needed a vacation from the vacation.
Right,
so
I understand.
I never really just chill.
All right, so I believe currently Chris Dorian is driving because he left Charlotte this morning. So he's on his way to Columbia, South Carolina.
Okay.
Because he's going down to see the Gamecocks practice. And the Gamecocks are going to open up the season on August 31st on Sunday against the Hokies. This is a big, kind of out-of-the-gate game. Lenore Sellers is a stud. A lot of people think, he can contend for the Heisman. We'll get your take on that. But kind of talk about what you're expecting, not just from South Carolina, but this game, because Virginia Tech, there couldn't be more pressure on Brent Pry, the head coach of Virginia Tech, than this year. And he's got to open up on the road against Frank Beamer's son. So talk about this matchup.
Doesn't it feel a little bit like an opening round NCAA basketball tournament game where, the committee puts together games that have good storylines in them? And obviously this is a great storyline with the Beamer connection. It means a lot. The opening two weekends in the SEC are massive for the league, in terms of building a reputation, a resume for when the committee, looks at the totality of teams that they're considering to get into the playoff at the end of the year. This is one of those to help that reputation. And certainly, you look at Lenore Sellers, this guy, I think last year heading into the year was ranked 14th of the 16 quarterbacks in the SEC in one poll that I saw. Certainly not that case this year. A lot of people feel like he could win the Heisman, as you talked about. I worry about the pieces around him, receiver-wise. Mazio Bennett's probably the most consistent receiver they have. They need Nick Harper, the freak that is, 99 on the EA Sports game rankings and stuff. So they need some guys to step up there. The running game, losing Rocket Sanders, has been tough to replace the production from last year. They've got a kid that's seeking a seventh year of eligibility that the NCAA just allowed to practice but hasn't cleared yet. So that would be a big step for them. But defensively, that's where I worry the most. They lost a lot of really good players, including Kyle Kennard, who was opposite of Dylan Stewart. Dylan Stewart had an amazing freshman season, but Kyle Kennard, I think, reaped a lot of the benefit of the attention Dylan Stewart was getting. So they need some guys to step up on the defensive line. But I think this is a team that could vie to get to 9 wins again. And I think this year, teams in the SEC that get 9 wins are going to find themselves in as opposed to last year where they were on the outside.
Hey, Chris, Ohio State versus Texas is obviously the headline grabber, number 1 versus number 2, the first season opening number one v number two game in history. Like, it's great for fans, but if you're Sarkisian or Ryan Day, don't you behind closed doors think, you know what? Maybe I'd rather open with like Bowling Green or North Texas and play this game in week two. What do you think those guys think about doing this week one right out of the gate?
Yeah, especially with breaking in new quarterbacks there, it's going to be interesting to see which of those guys mm-hmm. is most ready to go, both highly recruited players. But I think anybody that thinks that Julian Sain or Arch Manning is just going to step in and take over and not have some growing pains is a bit naive. So I'm with you. But I also love what that does for the teams in the offseason, you know, and the winter conditioning and the spring practices and summer conditioning. You're pointing to this massive game. And it's hard for me to believe. I just heard that same stat yesterday that we've never had a one versus two to open the season. But that makes it even more delicious what we're getting ready to experience. I look at it from the perspective of my alma mater. The last couple of years, played against Utah, at Utah to open, played last year against Miami to open the season. Florida was not ready to go in those games and ultimately got better last year as the season went on. But I do wonder if it would be better for the fans to get an opportunity to see these two teams when they've got some games under their belt and the quarterbacks are a little bit more experienced. But I don't know how you guys feel about scheduling. I think that the Power Four teams should schedule one team from each of the other Power Three conferences and sprinkle these in. Have one early, have one in the middle of the season, have one late. Because I hate that we get these great matchups between conferences early in the season before the teams really have a chance to evolve into who they ultimately will become as the year goes on.
By the way, Chris, I looked at your Gators schedule, and you guys open with Long Island. Okay, you guys should beat them by 50. Then you host South Florida. Okay, that's no easy game. And then you guys go through a gauntlet in your next four games. I mean, is there a tougher stretch than at LSU, at Miami, home to Texas, at Texas A&M in the next 4 weeks?
They got a brutal schedule.
Oh my God.
It's brutal. Uh-huh. And that run, I think everybody in the SEC now, with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma, there's a three, and in a lot of cases, four-game stretch that's going to define the season. Mm-hmm. That's the stretch for Florida. I'm with you. I think it could be the most difficult four-game stretch in the country. I'll challenge you. We'll talk about Oklahoma next. I want you to look at their schedule. Their last seven games are absolutely brutal. But I think for Florida, they're not really talking about the schedule this year. Last year, this time of year, they were. It was incredibly challenging. It's pretty much the same schedule with teams being played at different times on the schedule this year. But I think, you know, winning the last four ball games of the regular season, beating LSU and Ole Miss, the confidence level is really high. So I have not heard much talk about the schedule down in Gainesville the way I did last year. These guys are feeling really confident, but it's all going to come down to the availability of DJ Lagway. I'm starting to worry that he may be a little injury prone. You know, this guy has, you know, talked about being 250 pounds this offseason, and you're seeing a lot of soft tissue injuries from him. Sometimes with those guys that are, you know, quick twitch guys that are strong like that, the soft tissue gets very vulnerable to pulls and strains and things. And I just worry about him not being able to be on the field. I missed a lot of time this offseason between the entire spring with an issue that was described as potentially, you know, they were trying to rest his shoulder because he had some lingering issues in his abdomen, some sort of hernia thing, and then the calf thing that's come up now. You don't get the ability to replace those reps that you miss in spring and the OTAs and the organized things that the quarterbacks do with the receivers. There's a lot of new pass catchers on the roster, and I worry about these guys not having the time together to develop the chemistry you need.
You mentioned like the quarterback battle in Ohio State, whoever that's going to be, but it's amazing how many of these top, call it 15 teams, have new quarterbacks. I mean, I know Manning's not a new quarterback, but he wasn't your every week starter for Texas. Texas, Ohio State, Georgia, Notre Dame, Oregon, Bama, Ole Miss, Michigan. I mean, a lot of new quarterbacks for the big name programs in the top 15.
Yeah, it is. And it's not the old situation that we used to have where, you know, you have a guy come in, gets redshirted, sits his freshman and sophomore year, and then plays his junior and senior year. In a lot of cases, you know, these guys are newer to the program. I think you mentioned Bama. It'll be interesting to see kind of what shakes out there, because Kalen DeBoer had talked about Ty Simpson being his guy back at Media Days, but then Ryan Grubb comes out this week and says that they've been, you know, rotating all of those guys through, getting reps with the ones, twos, and the threes, Ty Simpson, Austin Mack, and Keelan Russell. So it sounds to me much more like a quarterback competition there in Tuscaloosa than it was made to seem.
Yeah.
I think they want Ty Simpson to win that job, but I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, one or both of those other guys get an opportunity in the opener against Florida State. But you're right. It is a it makes it a lot more interesting when the Blue Bloods do not have an established quarterback coming back. And I think the playing field is as even this year as it's been in a long time.
Mm.
Chris, good to hear from you, man. Good to reconnect. And if you go work for Chris Doran, get ready to do some smelling salts on the job.
How far away are you from Columbia?
Probably got another hour here. I got a little late start this morning. It's kind of rainy and dark, so slept in a little later. But I'm making my way.
All right,
drive man. Safe travels, buddy. Man. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, boys.
All right, thank you, Chris Doring.
Played here in Washington. He is now an ESPN and SEC Network.
I mean, he was right out of the gate calling us bitches. Right out of the gate.
Yeah. You know what? He's probably pretty close to correct. All right, when we come back, we'll get into EB's entertainment page. We'll do that next on The Fan.